At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
I would ask that question of a man and have for thousands of times in my career. Ask tough questions of Tiger Woods and Michael Phelps and you name it. Are they saying we cannot ask tough questions, or in this case, not even a tough question, just a fair question of a female athlete?
Well, that is the voice of longtime USA Today reporter Christine Brennan on CNN the other day discussing the WNBA union's very combative statement condemning her reporting and condemning her personally. We'll talk about that and a lot more on the New Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis. Today, we're joined by some special guests from SportsCenter, the anchor team of Randy Scott and Gary Streisky. You might have seen them on the morning SportsCenter and also now on Friday afternoons. They're here for a very entertaining discussion about their work, SportsCenter in general, and hopefully you will enjoy that. That's a little bit later on. But first, let's talk about some of the sports media news of the past week. And we'll start with the WNBA Players Association's very bizarre, not to editorialize, but very, in my opinion, unprofessional statement blasting Christine Brennan of USA Today. So some backstory here. Christine Brennan is writing a book about Caitlin Clark. And she has been vocal on social media throughout the season in her dislike of some of the hard fouls and physical play that Caitlin experienced during the season. I think it's fairly apparent that people have viewed that as bias on her part. So the main issue here is that the other day, following game one of the Fever Sun series, so this is a week ago Sunday, DeJounay Carrington during that game one poked Caitlin Clark in the eye. Christine Brennan went and asked Carrington whether or not she intended to poke Caitlin Clark in the eye.
DeJounay?
Yeah.
Did you, when you went and kind of swatted at Caitlin, did you intend to hit her in the eye? And if so, could you just, or if not, either way, could you talk about what happened on that play?
Obviously, that is a question that would irritate and maybe even offend someone. What kind of person do you take me for, right? How could you think I would purposely poke somebody in the eye? But it's still a fair question. Maybe I wouldn't even necessarily say a fair question, but it's inbounds. It might be a little unfair, but let's be completely real here. If you asked Draymond Green, "Hey Draymond, did you intend to step on Domantas Sabonis's chest?" That's a fair question. We all know Draymond's that kind of a player, and obviously it sure looked intentional. It's inbounds. "Hey, Dylan Brooks, did you intend to hit LeBron in the groin?" Yeah, that's an inbounds question. One, I think he probably did. And two, it's just these are things that you're going to get asked. You know, it's not bizarre and unprecedented. And Carrington was offended by the implication. The union puts out a statement a few days later, on a Friday night, by the way. That you've probably already seen if you're listening to this podcast, but it was extremely combative, very bizarrely unprofessional. When I say unprofessional, I mean literally, like, this is not the language you use in a professional statement. I've never seen a statement like this put forward on behalf of a union, a league, never in my life. We call BS. Never seen that in a statement. You are not fooling anyone. Never seen that in a statement. I mean, these are the kinds of things that you'll see from certain unions and benevolent associations where that kind of combative, unprofessional tenor is more common. Not even necessarily arguing that Brennan is completely objective here, but this is not the way you address that. I mean, it was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen come out of the WNBA in my entire time following the league, which goes back to the beginning of the league in 1997. I have never seen the league or anyone associated with the league put out a statement like that. I know it was put out on behalf of the 144, which is the number of players in the league. I'd be shocked if all 144 players in the league supported that statement. Certainly, I imagine Caitlin Clark probably didn't. But it just kind of goes back to this culture war about Caitlin Clark and the inability of people to just be normal about her. And I understand what the players have gone through this year, dealing with a lot of really nasty and racist trolling on social media. It's really been something outside of Brittany Griner that none of them have ever dealt with. Now, we know Brittany Griner has dealt with that stuff. But it's been really tough. The thing that I think is really notable, they haven't really gone after the people who are doing the bad things, because you can't. It's a bunch of people on social media. It's commenters on the New York Post's website. Like, you can't really go after them. They're not real. So instead, you see these hard fouls on Caitlin Clark. You see this ridiculous lashing out at Christine Brennan. And it's like, these are not your enemy. Your enemy, the people who are your enemy are literally people leaving nasty comments on Rupert Murdoch-owned media properties. I'm not saying ignore the trolls, because it's hard to ignore emails to your inbox that have death threats in them. But again, that's not Caitlin's fault. I mean, it's interesting because, like, there is a perspective that Caitlin needs to account and be held accountable for the nasty comments on the internet, which in my opinion is not sensible. You're asking a 23-year-old, okay, to account for a bunch of 50-year-olds. That's just not fair. That's just not fair. You know, and look, I'm not acting like Caitlin Clark is pure as the driven snow, and you can kind of racialize that too. I'm not acting that way. She's a competitor. She's an athlete. And she's probably rubbed people the wrong way, not for stuff other folks have said, but even just for her own attitude. But, like, to hold her accountable for what these other people are doing, I'm totally against that. And don't take it out on Christine Brennan. Don't take it out on Caitlin Clark. They're not responsible for what those folks are doing. You got to understand, at a certain point, these people who are doing these things are opportunists, right? They sensed an opportunity. I kind of agree with what Nick Wright said the other day.
On that bandwagon were folks that weren't fans of basketball, that weren't even actual fans of Caitlin Clark. They were fans of what they thought Caitlin could represent, which was the humbling of black women.
They're not really fans of hers. They're just using her to get what they want, right? That's it. They're not fans of Caitlin. And they're not most of Caitlin's fan base either. Most of Caitlin's fan base, as I've said on this podcast a million times, it's like young girls, the lifeblood of this league's future, right? This has been a net positive for the WNBA. People don't seem to realize it yet, but the nasty people who have kind of snuck in, they're not the majority of the fan base that Caitlin has brought. And I don't know. I guess it's just enough of the negativity about this already. I mean, I get how difficult that is to say when you're getting death threats. And by the way, I suspect Caitlin Clark probably has gotten her fair share of very nasty comments, threatening comments, and people who have overstepped in many ways. And I'm not going to hold her accountable for the ugliness of the internet. And I'm not going to hold Christine Brennan accountable for it either. Neither of them are the reason why these nasty people are saying the vicious things that they're saying. I don't expect anything from commenters on Rupert Murdoch-owned websites. I don't expect anything from them except for the worst of the worst. I do expect a little bit of something better from the union representing WNBA players. I expect a lot better from them than we saw with that statement. Before we get to the interview, I do want to make a note. The baseball playoffs are playing out quite well right now for MLB. Everyone remembers last year, Diamondbacks Rangers was a disaster in the ratings. 9 million viewers is actually really good for television in 2023. Last year's World Series, least watched ever, and still really not that bad. But certainly you want more than 9 million viewers if you're MLB, and things are playing out really well. The Mets and Braves had that great doubleheader. They both made it, so the Diamondbacks didn't. You're not getting the Diamondbacks back in there. I just feel like right now the deck is stacked with this lineup for MLB for there to be a really, really good World Series finally in the ratings for the first time in a long time. And, you know, there's so many draws in the NL that as long as the Yankees make it, and, you know, if the Yankees don't make it, if you get Cleveland in there, that's still got some juice. I mean, you know, Cleveland played in that 2016 World Series too. That could be pretty good. I mean, obviously not Yankees level. And certainly we know for sure it won't be Rangers Diamondbacks again. And I think everyone outside of Texas and Arizona is grateful for that. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our sports media discussion for this week. But I have some special guests today, Randy Scott and Gary Streisky of SportsCenter. Very pleased to be joined today by a SportsCenter anchor duo that you might be familiar with, Gary Streisky and Randy Scott, who have now been hosting SportsCenter together for about 3 years. They're also now doing the Fridays at 2 o'clock edition. So really one of the more well-known SportsCenter teams of the modern era now. And Gary and Randy, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Hey, John, really appreciate you reading that intro just the way we wrote it.
Word for word, John. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, you
forgot,
no problem.
You forgot tall, handsome, and humble, though, which is kind of weird.
The most humble duo you'll ever see.
Yes, the Dan and Keith of 2024. How about that?
Hey-o.
We did write that. That's great. Thank you for reading that.
Yeah, no problem. Well, why don't we start with that? Everybody of a certain age, and I think we're all in generally the same age range. We all know, going back to the days of Dan and Keith or Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott, all the great SportsCenter anchor teams that have become really well known. And I'm not going to ask you if you think you're already in that class, because obviously you're going to say no. Everyone, you know, humility exists, right?
But yeah, I might not, but yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, where do you see yourselves kind of in that long span of nearly 50 years of SportsCenter? Your partnership, where do you position yourselves in that history?
Go ahead, Gary, rank us, bud.
No, Randy, go ahead. Beauty before age, dude, please. the floor is yours. And Randy does have to default answer this question first, because he actually has been a SportsCenter linear anchor for, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, 2 times longer than I have. I've only been at ESPN since 2018. Randy and I have been a full-time duo together going on 3 years. Some people might say, man, that's gone by quickly. Some people might say, damn, that's 3 years too long. But all that to say, Randy has actually had the privilege of working with the Kenny Maynes and the Stuart Scotts, albeit just one show. So he actually has more of a history and a Rolodex to speak on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very polite way of calling me old. And experience, but I keep a list. Gary and I joke about this, but like I have a list of every anchor that I've ever done a SportsCenter with. So that's everybody from, you know, Gary. I think Gary and I are. I've done the most shows with Gary, and then it's Nicole Briscoe, and then on down to people I've done one show with, and that's like everybody from Jeremy Schapp to I think I've done a couple with Laura Rutledge. You know, and those are people who are still with ESPN, but there are some that have gone on to other things. And, you know, Kenny Maine is one of them. And, you know, Adnan Virk and Darren Haynes, who's, you know, kicking butt out in Los Angeles. And like, it's just, there's been a history in that time. But how do I, okay, so enough skirting the question. I think Gary and I both grew up watching people do this at a very, very high level. And we have cribbed some of our styles from them, to be honest. I mean, Stuart Scott was one of one. Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann were the type of chemistry that I think Gary and I want to have. But we, like, it's so different now, man. Like, I mean, we joke about this too. Like, you're not going to get a 45-second on-cam lead to a minute and a half Royals Twins highlight. It's just not going to happen. So the way they did the show is different from how we do the show. We have to be really efficient in how we show to the viewer that we're friends, we get along. So, hey, come join this party in progress. You know, the people rarely tune in at for the 2 p.m. show right at 2 o'clock, for the 7 a.m. show right at 7 o'clock. They're joining a treadmill. They're jumping on a treadmill that's already in motion, and we just got to make sure that they feel comfortable. So I don't even know. I know the show is still SportsCenter, but it's almost like it's two different shows, not just two different eras. Is that enough of a cop-out?
The fact that we get the fact that Randy and I's comment section and Twitter feeds literally look like this. Randy and Gary, they're great, but they'll never be Dan O, Dan Patrick, KO, Kenny Mayne. So the fact that people are acknowledging, hey, it's me and Randy and we're doing a job, and they automatically put us in the same sentence, albeit, hey, you guys are good, but you're never going to be this. And that's totally okay. When I say that, I wholeheartedly am telling the truth in that you can't replace somebody's childhood somebody, right? Like, we have admiration for so many people that we work with. They're never going to be Stuart Scott. They're never going to be Kenny Mayne. I was just having a message. Me and Robert Flores were just DMing back and forth because Randy and I recently ranked him as a top 5 funny SportsCenter anchor. And I just shot him a DM. I was like, hey, by the way, me and Randy were talking. You're in our top 5 funniest SportsCenter anchor of all time. Nobody's ever going to be able to replace that. That doesn't mean there can't be more men and women to enter those conversations. And I think, fortunately, that's where me and Randy are entering those conversations with this next generation, this next wave of sports consumer.
But like, let's be clear. Like, we agree with the people who tell us you will never be Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann. You'll never be Craig Kilborn and Brett Haber. You'll never be Robin Roberts and Bob Lee. Like, we agree. Where do we sign? Like, we are not, we could never be, like, we're not going to be those legends. Like, they are, we wouldn't have our jobs without them, you know? Like, this SportsCenter being the destination and the brand that it is doesn't happen without them. So we sign off on that wholeheartedly. We try to do a show that I don't know, sometimes we're like, hey, that joke was for us. Like, sometimes we do the show like that we want to do, and we're just really lucky that that's resonated the way it has with people who are watching now in 2022 and 23 and 24.
John, that's the PR answer. We know we're the shit, though. All right?
All right. Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you.
Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
I will say, you know, you make a great point, Randy, earlier saying it's two different shows. And one of the one of the biggest aspects of that is it doesn't repeat all morning long, right? So, like I said, we've all been watching SportsCenter long enough. I'm sure all of us remember when the 1 a.m. SportsCenter would re-air every single hour during the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's how you said people come in kind of during your SportsCenter. Well, yeah, you would do the same thing for a Linda Cohn, you know, Steve Berthium SportsCenter, but then you'd keep watching when it started again, right? Yeah. And so you would see the whole show and all of the catchphrases throughout. And, you know, with that in mind, I mean, obviously 7 to 8 in the morning, and then it's on to the other shows, whether it's College Game Day, et cetera, et cetera. The exposure level is not what it was in the 90s. And so the social media aspect, how much does that play a role now in getting that exposure, getting a following that obviously wasn't the case back in the 90s?
Yeah, I think we're in a good position now. I think we're all generally millennials here between the three of us. We're we're now speaking to a millennial audience, even though our average viewer skews much older than that on the linear platform. And I think that's why it's beneficial to be in sort of the right place, right time. I'm 37, and I initially got brought onto ESPN as a SportsCenter Snapchat host, which was fantastic for me because I understood the power of our scope and range and footprint on social. And for so many years pre-COVID and then maybe a year or two after, it was, man, how do we bring this internet viewer, this internet consumer over to linear? And I think we're looking at it completely backwards internally. You're not bringing over internet people to TV. What you have to do is stuff on TV that resonates with the internet people. So what I look at it as, we have 42 minutes of actual content that we put within an hour of programming from 7 to 8, 16 minutes of commercial. So we have 42 minutes to create moments, bite-sized morsels, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 90-second bits, repeatable franchises that we do. Randy and I, we have a dozen of them that we repeatedly do that we clip, and they have second lives on TikTok, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Twitter. And I think that's actually the approach that ESPN and SportsCenter, and really to a large degree, people who do long-form content need to, and some people already do that. But ESPN is huge. We are a cruise ship. We're not a speedboat. It takes a while for us to turn. So I think that's what's really benefited us is doing stuff on our home show, but letting things have lives outside of that. And we have a bunch of different examples, whether it's the DAP game, whether it's the name game, whether it's the who can stay seated longer or who can stand longer game. We have a word game that we do, John, and I can send you all these links of social, of stuff that we do actually on TV that we allow to live elsewhere.
Yeah, sort of these Easter eggs that are on the linear show that, you know, there is, I mean, Gary, what's the stat that you had about Snapchat SportsCenter on Snapchat, like that audience knowing about linear?
Yeah, so SportsCenter Snapchat at our peak, and I still do SportsCenter Snapchat 2 days a week, Sundays and Mondays, Mondays and Tuesdays, sometimes 3 days a week. And our average daily viewer, unique viewer, was 2 million. So 1.5 to 2 million unique viewers every single day. And 80% of those viewers didn't know that SportsCenter was a brand that started on linear. So you're talking about over 1 million people thinking SportsCenter on Snapchat, that was the originating platform. And you're talking about Gen Z kids, like every millennial knows SportsCenter is a TV brand, but you're talking about Gen Zs and I think Gen Alpha now. They're growing up on a different screen. So that is their native content structure. So think about that. So we got to do stuff on TV and let them ingest that where they're consuming the content.
Yeah. I mean, there's a macro economic macro audience, you know, version of this that where you get into you know, cord cutting, and you get into, you know, paid cable subscribers, and you get into the digital space, and you get into, you know, streaming and things like that. And I can just, I don't want to, you know, put my family out there as like, this is every family. I just know in my house, my kids lock onto YouTube. And so as ESPN, like Gary, the cruise ship analogy is a great one. Like as ESPN has leaned into more YouTube content and putting content uniquely for YouTube and then taking linear content and, you know, packaging it, you know, trimming the commercials, where Gary, I got to point out, the math ain't mathing. 16 minutes of commercials plus 42 minutes of content is 58 minutes. There's two
correct.
Minutes. Yeah. There's 2 minutes missing.
And I'm just double, I'm just making sure that everybody's sort of paying attention.
All right. Totally understand.
And hey, you passed the test.
I think it's 18. I think it's 18 minutes commercials. But like, you know, my family, my kids, they are locked onto YouTube. That's where they would consume me. Like they don't watch my show. They don't watch our show before school. They're on YouTube. So if ESPN puts something on YouTube, that's where we'll find it. One thing that happened when Gary was, it happened when Gary was out of town just by timing, but the whole, you know, sketch phenomena where this guy was getting in with like NFL teams, this guy named Sketch was getting in with NFL teams and athletes, and it was kind of trending around pro locker rooms, whatever else. We did that on SportsCenter, and that's the most interactive thing I've had social media wise, the most viral anything. And it was crossing over into a very young audience. And I help out at my kids' elementary school a few days a week. And there were kids in, you know, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade who were like, what's up, brother? And they had seen me. They didn't know that I did SportsCenter at ESPN. They didn't know that I worked at ESPN, but they knew because of that, because that went over on TikTok, that went over on Instagram, that went over on his Twitch stream. Like, so I guess what I'm saying is I can look at it through my kids where I say, you got to meet them where they are. And that's in my own house. So I have a Roblox account, PlayStation account. Like I play games with them. Like I want to know who they're talking to, what they're doing, what they're consuming. Our audience has to be the same way. Wherever our audience is, and it's increasingly nonlinear, we have to go where they are. And in digestible, like Gary's point, in digestible formats, digestible chunks, and not try to drag audiences around necessarily, just meet the audience where it is.
So how do you do that while, one, being authentic, right? You don't want to be, how do you do fellow kids, right? But then, you know, at the same time, you also have the majority of your audience is still people who are older. How do you thread that generational needle where you're being authentic to the younger audience while not driving the older audience away?
I think sports innately sort of keeps us young, right? So I'm 37. 20 years ago, as a 17-year-old, if I pictured what I would be doing, how I would be sounding, how I'd be dressing as a 37-year-old, it certainly wouldn't be how I'm dressing and how I'm talking as a 37-year-old. I mean, I still feel, and this, depending on who you ask, it's probably a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. 37 is not that old, right? Like, we're all just trying to figure it out, and we're just getting older now, trying to figure it out. Fortunately, because what we do keeps us young and it keeps us in this cultural relevancy cycle, in that we're supposed to stay privy on what's happening. All of the athletes now are getting younger. Tom Brady retired, and all of a sudden, there's not an athlete in the NFL that we're older than. Well, maybe Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's older than us. But just being in the actual content every single day sort of helps you organically stay with the times. In a way that's not forced, in a way that we can still acknowledge, hey, all right, our prime is certainly past athletically, but we're still in this conversation. We can still make our way around it. We're all still sports fans generally. So that hasn't been too difficult, because also we have a bunch of millennials now who are the target audience at this point. Man, it's so crazy that millennials, the friends we grew up with, the same friends who were shooting bottle rockets out of car windows, ask me how I know,
allegedly,
are
now like, allegedly,
allegedly, you know, there's no video, are now in like positions of power, right? Like I got a bunch of jackass friends who, you know, we were college buddies and post-college, and now they're like lawyers and doctors. I'm like, dude, we're still the unserious people with serious jobs. And I think that this profession allows us to stay that way.
I think self-deprecation helps too. Like,
yeah,
you can't cannot take yourself too seriously at either end of the spectrum, right? If you're trying to be if you're trying to be buttoned up, wearing a suit, and you know, I remember rolling my eyes at somebody once who was like, "I'm not going to read that," and it was like, "No, that's the story. The story is there was a, oh man, it was something having to do with a." With an ad deal that had gone wrong, and just the names and the company was like, I don't know, I'm gonna make something up, but the company was like, you know, Jamtastic 8000 or whatever, and the guy I was working with was like, this is beneath me, and it was like, no, this is the, like, you can't take yourself too seriously when you're reading news, and you can't take yourself too seriously when you're trying to, you know, be funny, and you know, the worst thing you can do, right, is try to go viral, try to be funny. Like when we do our post show press conferences together, it's just riffing. It's just, and you're constantly making fun of yourself. You're constantly like, I do bruise like a peach, and you know, I do this, and daddy does that, and whatever. And you just like talk about your own limitations. And I think you come across as an everyman. And like, it's the beer test. It's like, who you're watching on TV, do you want to sit next to at a bar and watch that game? You know, if he's going to talk to, he or she are going to talk to you about a game, do you want to sit there and watch that game with them, or are you feel like you're being talked at after the game? And one is inherently, to me, more entertaining and more relatable than the other. So I think that helps with the authenticity part.
Yeah. Well, I would say, obviously you want to stay young. I will note the one reference that kind of turned me on to you guys, was somebody on the Tigers, I guess his name McClanahan, right? Or on some baseball team. And in my mind, you hear McClanahan, you think Rue. And yeah, one of the two of you might have, I don't know which one of the two of you said it, but you immediately made a Golden Girls reference. And that was right down my alley.
That was for sure Randy. That's gotta be Randy, dude.
That was probably me. That's a great, that's a such an underrated like comedy classic show.
It is. Well, the irony was I had literally switched to SportsCenter from Golden Girls, but that's another hilarious story for another day.
All right.
Let's get into your relationship. And obviously, you know, you've been working together for a few years now. You both worked for Nesson, but at different times. So
yep.
When did you become aware of each other before working together? And when did you know that you had the chemistry that you have?
It's funny, Randy was at Nesson before me. It's almost as if since like 2010, 2011-ish, Randy kind of was always a step or two ahead of me in the, just the professional realm. He was at Nesson, left Nesson. I joined Nesson in 2013, and I would start getting questions and start having people ask, hey, do you know Randy Scott? Did you ever work with Randy Scott? You're a lot like Randy Scott. And I'm like, who's Randy Scott? This Ooh, was geez. Right when I started Nesson. So I was like, okay. So like literally 2013, Randy was like put on my radar. He was at ESPN at 2012, Randy? 2013?
I was there from 10 to 12. Yeah.
So and then went to ESPN. So then when I got to ESPN in 2018, people would start being like, hey, do you know Randy? Have you worked with Randy? Nesson connection. And by then I obviously knew who Randy was, but I had yet to meet him. Maybe some messaging like Twitter or Instagram, but still like, no, don't know him. Oh, you're a lot like him. Like you guys have the same humor. And then we finally got paired on like a one-off SportsCenter in like late 2018, early 2019. And I'm like, oh, I get it. So I had known about Randy for like 6-7 years, but I had yet to ever meet the guy. I finally meet him and I'm like, huh, you're a lot shorter in person. And then, you know, I would be sort of like the first call off the bench whenever they needed me. And it would be either me or Briscoe or me and Randy. And I just sort of hit it off with that morning crew. And then Briscoe got put on nights, transferred to nights. And then Jill Fredrickson at the time, she was like, hey, I want to make you full-time TV. You and Randy are basically the same exact person. So I'm not going to have you guys both be on the same show. And I'm like, damn, that stinks. Literally, the schedule came out the next week. And me and Randy were on the same show together 3 days a week. And I was like, really? Yes, that's awesome. And that was basically like her parting gift, because then she retired. She's still local. Jill, if you're listening to this, we love you. Thank you so much. I owe you so much. And then, man, it's honestly been like the best possible professional match, and it evolved into Randy being one of my guys now. So yeah, ever since February of 2021, it's been a dream scenario for sure.
Gary has a way of like he's so much better with names than I am, and he like can meet someone once and then it's like that person wants to tell Gary their life story. And
it's a curse.
It's a curse. And I'm like the only other person I know who that happens to. And so seeing it in the wild, like we'll go out and get dinner after, you know, well after a show, right? Because our shows are so early, but like we'll go get lunch, we'll go play golf, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, like he's just like, everybody feels comfortable, like, you know, bearing their soul to Gary. Like they'll come up and be like, hey man, remember my cousin I was telling you about last week? And Gary's like, oh yeah, Charles, right? And he's like, yeah. So Charles like had that biopsy and we're all good. And he goes, yo, tell Charles I'll say what's up. And then Charles will DM Gary, and then Gary and Charles will follow each other. And then it's like Gary's playing golf with us in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like it's like this way of like just never, it's no strangers, just friends he hasn't made yet. And so when I was, let's see, I got to ESPN in 2012, and I became aware of Gary because we have Nesson on at ESPN all the time. It's what helped get me my job there. So there's a ton of Red Sox fans, ton of Bruins fans. So it's always on. And then, you know, we get in so early. Sometimes the morning show will have games on from the night before. Like the joke is around NCAA tournament time. Like we watch more, what is it? Charmed? What's that show with Alyssa Milano? That's on TBS and TNT. That's on in the morning because you're watching the NCAA tournament games overnight. And so people just leave TBS on. And so we come into Alyssa Milano in the morning. And no, you know, no one's complaining. No one's complaining. But when it's not tournament time, Nesson's on. And so I would see Gary and I'd see this dude who was younger, who was a he, and is. And so like that job, Red Sox sideline, when I was there was Heidi Watney's. It was before Heidi, it was Hazel May. Like there were not a lot of guys getting the. And so Gary stood out for sure. And then I think there was a Barstool tweet about you, dude, when you started like really getting regular reps with the Red Sox. And people were like,
I believe that one was Die Gary Die.
It wasn't Die Gary. It was like, you're not Heidi Watney or whatever it was. And so I became more aware. And then L. Duncan came from Nesson to ESPN. And I'm doing shows with L. And L. told me like the inverse of what Gary was like. Do you know Gary Streisky? You guys are the same, you know, style, like work well together. And L said, I'm trying to get him here. I would love for Gary to be here. And I was like, there can only be one. So I'm going to have to hard pass on that. No. I was like, if he gets here, tell him no eye contact, handshakes only. But then Gary started doing Snapchat and we got introduced. Maybe L like sort of set us up and we got introduced. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. So the guy like that you saw on sidelines at Nesson is like that dude in person. Like he is the same guy. It's not like we both work with people who sometimes and have worked with people who are like, I'm this way on the air. And then like in person, they're normal. Gary's normal both places. Gary's normal is just elevated. And that's part of what makes him, you know, as special as he is. And like, yeah, we go to concerts, we go to games, like we play golf, we hang out, like, and some of the bits that we come up with, some of the lines that we come up with, like some of that stuff, the stories, even just like it carries over to the next show. It's like, it's almost, you know, what I said earlier about like viewers sometimes join a show already in progress. They jump on that treadmill. Like sometimes they're just like watching this, you know, professional and personal relate, you know, friendship. Like they're just watching that already in progress. It's like, yeah, come on in. Like here you go.
I did take notice that I don't know if it probably was this year that you both did First Take together, and you know that's obviously a bit different for a SportsCenter anchor. What went into that? How was that brought to you? Did you maybe even pitch it to ESPN? And what was the experience like?
It was on. So after Jill Fredrickson retired, Maria Suarez became in charge of SportsCenter, and we love Maria. She is incredible. She has a heart of gold. She is like the most personable humanized executive that I've ever met. And I don't want to say it was her total brainchild, but I know that she was in on the conversations with the executives between SportsCenter and First Take, just to sort of cross-pollinate the two platforms. You know, for us, we're on so early, half the country isn't even awake. So I think it was a brainchild between like James Dunn, who now does oversee SportsCenter, Maria Suarez, maybe even higher up than that, the Mike Fosses of the world as well, just to get a little bit of airtime, just to sort of get some exposure in front of different audiences, which was great, right? Because I think so many times, if you're an old school SportsCenter consumer, it's like, okay, these guys are buttoned up. Yes, they're fun. Yes, they have personality. No, they never get a 90 seconds or 2 minutes to actually tell me how they really feel. They're going to give you a quirk here, a couple, two sentences there. So yeah. First Take, I think, was really a testing ground to allow the SportsCenter people to just open up and broaden up their actual personal sensibilities. And I thought it actually went great. Stephen A. Smith agreed with literally everything that I said, specifically about the Cowboys. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
It sounds generally like, you know, it went over really well, and, you know, that's not going to be the last time it happens. So, yeah, that was fun. When Maria was like, hey, I want you and Randy up there, initially it was supposed to be L as well. So we were going to go three wide against Stephen A. Smith, but she had a scheduling conflict. But, yeah, that was very fun. And because now the powers that be sort of rearrange furniture, so to speak, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened more frequently, or not more frequently, but again, at least.
Yeah, I hope it does. It was cool to, like Gary said, be able to have that latitude, you know, to have an opinion. I don't think we get shorted on showing our opinions during our show sometimes.
Correct. Like, but there's just less real estate to do it because our shows are so packed.
Yeah.
There's just naturally not 5 minutes built in to have a discussion.
Yeah.
Like when we have a five minutes built in, it's because we have Teddy Bruschi and Rex Ryan and both of us, you know, asking them questions, and they are the ones we are teeing up. Whereas obviously First Take, it's completely flipped. You know, Molly, she does such a great job of being a point guard. She tees us up and we're like, oh, I'm the one that gets 3 minutes. This is new.
Yeah.
This is welcome.
I get to answer this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Stephen A. agreed with anything that you said.
I remember that differently, I guess.
The Dak Prescott point almost like gave him a conniption. No, I liked getting to go down there. It's also cool to see, like, because every show wants to keep it moving. Like every show like has their own idea of what pace is, and you realize how fast ours is relative to other shows who are also like, hey, okay, we're moving on. Like you said, Molly's like, all right, we're going from who beats Patrick Mahomes in a one-on-one to who wins the NFC North and why Gary likes the, you know, the Vikings, which turned into a pretty darn good pick. You know, and you're like, and you're just constantly moving around. So it's cool to see how they do it. It was cool to see the Seaport set up, and it was cool to, you know, put faces with emails that we've gotten, and, you know, to like, I've been there long enough. And I think Gary, you, Stephen A, when that show was in Bristol, were you at ESPN yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So like, it's cool to see him again in person, and to also hear him talk about like how his 16-year-old daughter wants a car, you know, like the human stuff that Gary and I can get from each other in commercial breaks and after the show and before the show, you get to do that from somebody who's just become like this industry unto himself, like such a legend, where he's worrying about some similar stuff that, you know, we'll worry about with our own kids.
All right. Well, why don't we sneak in a little fun one at the end? I want to get the greatest SportsCenter catchphrases of all time, in your opinion. So one from Gary and then one from Randy, the greatest SportsCenter catchphrase of all time.
Since it's recent in the head and it's something that you probably can't even say anymore, but it comes from the great Robert Flores, man. Yeah. Is Novak gonna have to Djokovic, dude? Yeah. That is a Hall of Fame line. And Roflo has a handful of Hall of Fame lines, but that one is just, it's so perfect. It is so niche because you can literally only use it when Novak Djokovic is playing tennis and doing well, but it's so good. It's so good that it's one of those where you hear it said and you're like, why didn't I think of that?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but also having the chutzpah to say it too. Like
also that too.
Yeah.
and enunciate everything safely.
Carefully, yes, safely, yes. All of it. I mean, the one that is so relatable and iconic and unique and organic, and it's not a reference, it's more like a line, is Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow. Like, for like, that's Stewart had several on that. You know, we have a quote board at ESPN, like this whole wall right in DC too, the new digital center. Well, 10 years old now, but leading into the Sports Center studio, and it's this big wall. And Gary and I point out, we're like, there's room for more, you know, to be added onto that wall. But Stewart has a couple on there. That's one of them. One of them is Booyah, obviously, and that one's like memorialized. So Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow is a really, like, to me, that's up on a high shelf.
My bad, John. I didn't know we were just taking chalk. All right.
I know.
I thought we had to go deep in the doldrums here because Booyah is like, it's emblazoned. Like, it's a 3D Booyah on the wall because it's that iconic.
I'm trying to think of a lesser known one where it was like really like, oh, that's like, that, oh, okay. So there's one where it's a good shot. You could use it in golf. You can use it in basketball, whatever. It's a good shot, but it's not good enough. And that's how you have to say it. It's a son-in-law shot. Good, not good enough. And I'm trying to, that was Doug Kazarian. Doug Kazarian used that one. And I remember thinking, that's clever as hell. And he said he heard it on a golf course somewhere, but I liked that one for sure. I mean, there's like, what was it? Like a Drifter, He Was Born to Walk Alone, for a solo home run. Cole Wright had that. Yeah, there's some good. My favorite one that Gary does is once pitcher wants that back like a 2 a.m. text. Hmm. That's my, like, that who among us has not sent an ill-advised after hours text?
Come on. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time. It was a great pleasure. You can catch Gary and Randy on SportsCenter mornings and on Friday afternoons. And thanks again for joining us.
John, thanks so much, man.
Thanks,
buddy. It was really fun.
And thank you, sir.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. And that is it for the Sports Media Watch podcast this week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more next week.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.